This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome to another episode of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast, presented in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. You can find them online at www.mysta.org. We'd also like to thank the Long Island, Adirondack, and Finger Lakes Regional Golf Course Superintendent Associations for their continued support of the Shortcut newsletter. Let's get to the weekly growing season observations with Dr. Frank Rossi. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. It's April 20th. We're here with Dr. Frank Rossi. Frank, you want to start with the weather, what we've seen the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a very interesting begin to the spring pattern here. We're here in the week four, really, the fourth edition of the Early Bird Podcast. And I would tell you that last week was the beginning of this, but this week is really the manifestation of what happens when it's so warm for so long, and then you get to normal temperatures. And Carl, we were laughing because Art said the forecast is, you know, for above normal conditions or normal conditions. And he said it was 3 degrees above normal. So we've gotten so used to things being above normal that now that they've been cool, the big thing I would say, almost everybody on the call this morning was talking about how stalled the system seemed. That there was some mowing, there was some rolling. Certainly people have put their pre-emergence out. But, you know, the adequate rainfall is not really, except for a couple of isolated areas on the east end of Long Island, the adequate rainfall is keeping things moist enough to grow. It just appears that the cool temperatures are holding them back. But, here I go again. They're not really cool temperatures. They're normal temperatures. So that's the first thing to get everybody aware of is sort of things are sort of stalled right now, which means you don't want to be doing a lot of aggressive cultural practices because you're not going to get a lot of growth on the other side of that as things start to stall, regardless of how much fertilizer you put on. Now, soils look like they're in the 55 degree range at a 2-inch depth through much of the norm, you know, the sort of majority of the Northeast region. But I also thought the biggest thing that Art was talking about is after we get a couple of systems come through, and there'll be one to the south, to the far south, it looks like they're going to get a lot of rain south of southern New Jersey, and then a little bit of rain in the metro area, and then not as much up north where we are. And I think what Art began to say was this could be the beginning, as he looks west, of a dry pattern that we may get into now in the spring. And as we were talking, I really like dry patterns in the spring because, you know, the turf is so healthy, vigorously growing typically, that if you get dry weather, it really allows those roots to sort of push down more. If you withhold the water and dry them out, it pushes them down more. But as Marie said on the east end of Long Island, Carl, she's starting to see these localized dry patches from Tamsin Yeh's scouting of these golf courses. They're starting to see localized dry spots on these sand-based greens. So dry conditions requiring, in the cases of these golf courses, maybe not ideal irrigation systems, but these localized dry spots indicate that maybe an unusual need for wetting agents this year, early. If you're going to start to dry things down, sands won't dry uniformly without some help from the use of wetting agents. And so that's one way to look at what's coming with the dry weather and how to manage it in your sand-based systems. But it also led to the conversation about fairy rings.
Yeah.
So Rich Buckley in his report was saying, when I asked him about how guys making their preventative summer patch drenches, he began to talk about the need, the a lot of guys putting down materials for fairy ring control. Now, you might think, well, how do you tie fairy ring to dry spots? Well, there's a number of fairy ring issues that lead to hydrophobic conditions or very severe dry spots. So very interesting how the weather is sort of moving to normal, and dry periods now are going to be coming more frequently, and a proactive approach to preparing your turf for those conditions, anticipating these issues, I think is what the best turf grass managers are going to do. But it also seemed like while the turf might be in a stall, weeds are not. You want to give us an intro to the weed issue?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about this lesser celandine and how that kind of emerges quickly in the spring and then can just kind of disappear rapidly. And by the time a lot of people realize it's an issue, it goes away, it goes dormant, and it's ready to come back next year. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that and what they're seeing.
Yeah, so Randy Prostak, the weed scientist at the University of Massachusetts, referred to the lesser celandine or Ranunculus ficaria as a spring ephemeral. It's a perennial plant that's always coming back from the same plant, not reemerging from seed all the time. So it behaves a little bit like a winter annual in that it'll start to invade in the fall and then come up, flower, and go away, and then come back other times. So timing for the chemical application, Randy was saying, could be right now. If you're seeing leaves of Ranunculus ficaria, it might be good to make a herbicide application for us in New York that looks like it's going to be a triclopyr 2,4-D combination app, because the product that he likes, Forazolam,
yep,
known as Defender, I don't believe is labeled in New York State as of yet. And so why would you want to spray a weed that's not going to be there anymore, I guess is the question. And from what we heard from Nick Menchek on Long Island at SUNY Farmingdale was he laid some sod last fall and this weed broke through the seams. So we have a very aggressive growing weed that I would characterize and is on the Massachusetts invasive plant list, I would characterize as like a Japanese stilt grass that we sort of saw it on the fringe. It's a problem in riparian areas, wet areas, wooded areas, and is starting to make its entry into our urban landscapes. And it's a non-traditional weed problem that becomes invasive, makes a mat, and smothers out the existing turf. So I think the message on this weed control thing, Carl, is really to get after this now, because if you sort of let it sit there and do its thing, it's going to be everywhere quickly. So this is an interesting emerging issue that I think people in the lawn and landscape business and even in the golf and sports business or grounds business might see it and say, oh, yeah, I see that. It goes away. And then the next year they come out and it's 20% of the stand. Next year they come out, it's 40% of the stand. And it doesn't appear to be easy to control because it's not always there. And when it gets there, it makes a mat that smothers out. And I thought the other fascinating thing was that Randy was saying, even in a dense turf, it's going to poke right through. So we may have our hands full with this lesser celandine.
Excellent. So we got our weather, weed, and disease updates this week in our conversation. That'll conclude this week's episode of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. Just as a reminder, we'll be tweeting out growing season updates from our Twitter account, @CornellTurf, throughout the week. That'll supplement this conversation. Thank you again for joining us. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.